My teacher came up to me and said, "How'd you put that together?" I was like, "Being honest with you, it was just 3 days." And then he said, "You have a gift." And I was just like, "Thank you." I didn't really look much into it, but I've always been doing videos. But fast forward to my freshman year in college, it's where it really got started for me. Hi, my name is Prince Miles. I'm a videographer and filmographer. I do weddings. I am the owner of Prince Global Production and Multimedia. Prince Global Production deals with studios and films. Multimedia deals with weddings and baby showers and events that you might want to book us for.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, I have Prince, but he said he does weddings, he does all these other events, but he did not mention in that intro the movie that he just put out that I'm really feeling and telling everybody, you gotta check out this movie. It is not your traditional movie where you know where they're going. I mean, they had alternate endings before alternate endings, I think. So, Prince, welcome to the show. You got to start it off and let them know about this movie too. We're gonna get into everything else, but tell them the name of the movie. I will have links in the description, you guys.
Yes, so the movie is called Like the Origin Story. It was all about two couples coming together and then ultimate betrayal that led one couple down to one path and a lot of crazy things happening. And movie has been doing so well, and everybody has been asking us for a part two. So we've been getting together talking about how we want to continue the series, because that's what we're looking at doing now, is probably turning into a series.
And you
Yeah.
guys got to check this out. I've had people hit me that I've shared it with. Man, who's the leading lady? They didn't tag her. What's the Instagram? And I say, y'all no say. Like, you can go bother the production company if they want that information out for them thirsty stalkers out there. Now, with this movie, tell people how long it took, how many people. I just want to give them a kind of a scope before they go off and go check that link. How long did it take you? And how much, capital did it take for you to step out on faith and try to do this? Because so many people want to do movies, but they say, I don't have $10 million. And it doesn't take that, but it
No.
does take some faith and work. So let them know.
So for them film, it was just me and my little brother that started off at first, but my little brother's 10 years old, so I really know there was limited stuff I could do with him. So I had to get me a cast. So it was a lot of my friends. I called some of my friends, some of my colleagues, some people I went to school with, and some people I know was in a drama club and pitched them the idea of the movie, and then they liked it. The movie overall, I think, was about between 15 to 20,000, and that was just because like we was off schedule. I kept having to rebook the places again. I wasn't really supposed to spend that much money, and just having to rebook the locations again and again. I had to rebook about 3 to 4 times because it was like, oh, we didn't like this shot, we gotta reshoot. Oh man, this person had didn't show up that day, so we had to do this and that way, but this and that way did not look good. So as expensive as it turned out, it shouldn't have been that expensive because I did the whole budgeting. But in order for me to do my film, I had the support of my mom, first off. She was great in everything. And basically I had saved up money about what, 3 months prior. I had saved up about 5,000, and I was like, I'm gonna wait on my refund check. Once my refund check happens, we're gonna start launching the movie. So that was pretty much about how it was gonna go. Once we ran, because like I said, I had to rebook everything over and over. Once we kind of ran through that budget, it was basically Prince Global Production was paying for like the wedding gigs I was getting, was paying for what we had to come up, baby showers, events that people was booking us for. I was like, all right, so this money I'm getting, I take the portion I usually get to pay myself, just put it into the film. So the film had a total of about 15 people on it. Because you don't really need that much people to make a good film. You just need about five good actors, some camera, great edits, and you're good. We was able to get about 15 people who committed to the film, when I was happy because we had ideas. Because everybody in this film was creative. Everybody had their own idea. My leading male actor. He's a singer and a rapper. So he had different ways he wanted to try and portray it. My leading woman, Michaela Martin, she's an aspiring actor, very good. I happened to run into a to an old mutual friend. So they kind of introduced us, and she's currently doing other roles right now too. And she's asking me when is part two finna come out. So I'm in the works of that also as well. But it was about 15 people. Everybody was multi-talented. Everybody in the cast had about four or five different assignments. So there was nobody who just had one.
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And he was paying these people, you guys. So it wasn't like they were just doing it on the strength, on the muscle. No. And this is a young man who understood, oh, I'm going to have to pay to have this talent come out. And it looked like folks were having fun. You know, you said some names. So now folks are going to be looking up. When I wouldn't tell them because I didn't know, they would be looking up. Oh, let me see. And, you know, that's the way it goes. But, It's all good. Can you talk about, you know, when your journey started with photography or videography? Because you're talking about refund checks. It brings me back to them good old days. So glad to be done with Sally Mae. But talk about like when you started, so people know how long you've been doing this. Because sometimes they think people just pick up a camera one day and they're a professional. And that's not how this thing goes.
Honestly, this one has like two starts with it. It started in middle school, really. I think it was Windows Movie Maker. I think that's what it was called. So I was in a class with a girl who I thought was pretty cute. So I wasn't really paying attention to the class much. I had an assignment that I was supposed to be due. And my mom, she is strict on rules. A's and B's, you get C's. Don't worry about playing any sports or anything like that. So my grade was on the verge of dropping, and then we had to do a short little movie with this song. We didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world been turning. I don't know if you know that song, but we had to do like a short little movie with it and put that song in the title and make some good edits. And then my grades was very low around that point. Like I said, I was paying attention to the girl. I wasn't really paying attention in class. So I knew I had to get creative. Once I got creative and put the script together and everything within like what 3 days. This was about a 2 months long assignment that we had, and I was able to put something together in 3 days, and I got the best grade out the class. And then my teacher came up to me and said, "How'd you put that together?" I was like, "Being honest with you, it was just 3 days." And then he said, "You have a gift," and I was just like, "Thank you." I didn't really look much into it, but I've always been doing videos. But fast forward to my freshman year in college, it's where it really got started for me. Freshman year in college, I was a football player, hurt out of high school, decided to walk on. I made the team at Bethune-Cookman. So I was on the practice squad, and I wasn't getting much looked at on the practice squad. I realized how tough football was when I got to Division I college. So once again, I met this girl. She wouldn't leave me alone for some reason. I don't know why, because I was always tired. I'm like, bro, class is hard, football is hard. I just want to get some sleep, and you keep trying to bring me into the studio. For what reason are you trying to bring me into the studio? And she's like, she wouldn't stop for days. Just come to the studio, come to the studio. Sometimes she'd grab my phone and run to it. I'm like, I'm not trying to be here. So fast forward, I ended up in the studio, and I told everybody what I was trying to do, but then I wasn't really too serious about it. But I'm looking around, I'm seeing everybody else doing it. I'm like, yo, this is where I want to be by my senior year. I'm like, I want to shoot films. I want to be well-known around campus for doing that. And how I started was I auditioned for my first school play at Bethune-Cookman, and I got a leading role. I was shocked I got the leading role, to be honest. Like, when I went for it, it was around the time when football was coming to an end. I needed something to do because I know me. I have to stay busy. If I don't stay busy, I'm going to be in trouble. So I already know that as football was coming up, my mom was calling me, stay in the gym, find you something to do. Don't be having free time. So I was like, I already know that too as well. And then she came back and bothered me and brought me back to the studio again. And I ran into Mr. Shaw. Mr. Shaw put me on a project. And on that project, they had to record the theater people. and I was part of the theater, so I wasn't able to do that. But when I got to see everybody come and watch me perform, they laugh at the scenes that was funny and they was dramatic with it. But for me, as I was acting and doing it, I didn't see any funny part in the script. I saw more dramatic. So I was like, yo, how did I convey this? And I didn't even know. So I got more into it, started looking into it, and I did three more plays. And I was like, you know what? I want to be behind the camera because I have the creativity for it. Because some of those plays we was getting, our teacher was giving to us, it was like Martin Luther King plays. It was plays I was already there that I was supposed to be talk about the Black culture. Because I went to an HBCU, but Bethune-Cookman's an HBCU.
Yes, so, yes. We love all the HBCUs, all of them. I went to Graham. Bethune-Cookman number one.
We got to put that out there. Bethune-Cookman number one. Yeah. L Wildcats.
So, you've almost been on like your 10-year journey, even though you're a young man, because it's not just that you started in middle school. I want people to know, so when you come to them, they don't think like you're just looking for your first opportunity.
No,
this man has been, he's worked at Publix. He's been a fry cook, Leo's Pizza. Don't forget that. You put work in on so many levels where, you know, you might have got burnt like I did on my finger working at them little fast food places. So I want people to know you put in probably, you know, your 10,000 hours or getting close to it.
Oh,
you're not new to this.
Yeah, of course. And especially when I was shooting my movie, because I barely slept when I was shooting my movie. Because I was basically like the main one. I wrote the script. I budgeted. I had to check location scouting. Had to make sure people knew their lines. I was trying to get outfits ready. Some people brought their own outfits. So it was like I was pretty much, we was done shooting by 11 or 12 at night. And I was up again by 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, just because check-in time for everybody was 6:55. I had them at 6:55 check-in time. But we didn't start shooting till about 8 o'clock. I just wanted to make sure everybody was there and knew what was going on for the day, give the breakdown, do a light little reading before we got started. So yeah, of course, it was like that. And for a lot of those places I worked at, Leo's Pizza and stuff like that, I did little commercials for them too. Cause I was like, you know, I do videos. It's like, okay. And they gave me a shot at commercial. That's how I got better with some of my commercials, doing voiceovers and stuff like that. And then I used to think you had to go to the studio, do a voiceover. It's like, get you a little mic, just do a clean sound, and that's good as a voiceover. Or you need a clean bite. So I've been doing this since for a long time. Middle school, I did it in high school too as well. For college, it was more like a survival thing too. Because my specialty, after my experience with the theaters and Mr. Shaw put me in these situations, it was a lot of music videos. Because people were paying me to do music videos for them. And I got tired of reaching out to my mom for money. Because majority of the time, my money was going for the parties. So I was like, you know what? I'm calling my mom almost every week. Let me borrow $300 and I got to come. She's not the type to give you money without an explanation. She'll give you a certain amount, but over a certain amount, you need an explanation of why she got to give you her money. So I was
that makes sense. I mean, you're growing up. We all who are old enough to remember when that phone got hung up or not answered when you needed something. So out of survival, when you started doing the movie and even just the whole business, like, did you have any doubt, any, you know, I don't know if I can do this? Was there any doubt in your head, or was it that you were such in the trenches of I'm not calling mama no more? This had to work.
It was both. I was like, I'm not calling my mom anymore, because most of the time I was spending my money on foolish things. And a lot of times when my credit card declined in front of people, it was always like, what? I just got $300-$400 spent sent to me the other day. How did it decline so quick? And then my mom would call me, what did you spend your money? I was like, okay, look, I was at this party this morning, went home, got some sleep, went to the store, ate some food, and went to another party. It was just like, I couldn't explain that to my mom. But for me, I had doubt. For a lot of projects, I had in college, my first two projects, I had people helping me out, but they wasn't really like helping me out. It was more like, go do this, go do that. And then they would look at it over and be like, that's awful. And then throw it back at me. I'd just be like, what? That's some of the best work you're going to get out of me. But my moment of truth came in when, like I said, I didn't have no money around that time. One of my friends, and we're close friends now, wasn't friends back then in college. Around that time, he was like, he's an inspiring rapper, good music and everything. I'm like, man, this is nice, need a music video. He's like, yeah, but I don't know anybody that who's gonna do it for me. I don't know what happened out of nowhere. Like, I did not plan this. My body just jumped and said, I'm a videographer. I can do your music videos for you. And when I said that, I tried to stop myself from talking, but I just kept on talking and talking. And one thing about me is I can talk and once I get into a conversation. So once we started talking, it was like, all right, I give you $85, to shoot a music video for me. Now, I know that don't sound like a lot now, but back in college, $85, man. Man, I can go get me something to eat. I can go to a party or two. I can, put some gas. I had a problem with gas in my car. So it was a lot of times I was walking around on campus because I didn't have that much gas. So $85 was a lot because back then, because the software was free since it was on campus, a lot of people was charging $25 and $50 for a music video. So, and I was a freshman when this was all happening. So that $85, I was like, wow. So we went out, I shot his music video, and then I was out of nowhere, my friend saw me with a camera. It was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm about to go shoot this dude's music video. It's like, bro, let me come help you out too. Look, we can make him feel like a celebrity. Two cameras. Then my homegirl was like, oh, bro, I take pictures. Let me take some pictures. I still have that video right now from that day that I first started my music thing. I still look at that video to this day. Like, we was all just in the studio together, and then I had a music video, and everybody decided to join in, and we just started shooting. And the way the music video came out, it was so nice. And everybody, they put it in the screen. The studio room had a big TV. They placed it in that, and everybody was watching. It was like, oh yeah. So I'm in there, I'm over like, I'm cheesing because nobody knows that I was the one that made it, but everybody was cheering it on. Like I said, I was a freshman, so no one really knew who Prince really was on that point. And they was complimenting the video. I wanted to say it was my video, but I didn't want to say that. So I just stood there laughing and cheesing. And then Mr. Shaw, he said, good job. And I was like, thank you. Because if he never put me on those little small projects, I would have never really stepped out and talked to people. Because when I showed up to college, I wasn't trying to talk to nobody. It was play football, go to the league, and I'm done. Y'all could see me on TV on Saturdays, and hopefully on Sundays.
Now, how much of, that support do you think, like being at an HBCU, had to do? Because I went to a PWI and then I went to the HBCU and I was like, it's night and day
It
where
is.
you don't even have to get, a book. You can go find somebody on the late night to study with. Uh-oh, if you know. But talk about that experience because that's something that some people say, why would I go to HBCU? I heard this, I heard that, but they don't always get to hear the great stuff.
Oh, HBCU shaped what I'm doing right now. Like, when I was going to college, I didn't really have much options for college and things like that. Cause freshman year and sophomore year in high school, I was all about my grades, but somewhere in the middle, I couldn't stay out of trouble too much, so my grades dropped. So there was very few colleges that really accepted me. But Bethune-Cookman was one of them. FAMU was the other one, and it was a decision which one to go to. My decision was made very clear when FAMU sent me a text about a couple months before I go in. They want me to go retake the SATs over again. I'm like, I think I was a point off or something from what they need for me to officially be in the school. So at that point, I was like, man, look, I got a torn rotator cuff. I'm on doctor's prescription pills. I'm not trying to go there and sit down and pain again and take another test for another 4 hours. Cause the first time I took it is cause my left shoulder, I had a torn rotator cuff, I had surgery, and I was basically taking a lot of prescription pills just to stay in the room and finish the test cause I was in so much pain. and so much pain to the point where if I move, I felt like I was gonna pass out. So I was like, no, I'm gonna just go to Bethune. So when I got there, the support Bethune gave was very, I didn't expect that. The students was all like family. The teachers was all like family. I had problems with financial aid. My teachers was like, you know what, I'm gonna come help you out. Cause like, none of us really knew what financial aid was. It sounded good when they explained, like, you guys are giving out free money just to pay for my college? I'm like, yeah. Nobody knew what financial aid was. And then as they was explaining it to me, I'm like, I'm getting $30,000. I'm like, man, I can't wait to make a video with this for the friends back home. Like, yeah, I'm getting money and all that stuff. So I didn't know what financial aid was. I thought it was money that was getting to you in your pocket. So when I got to campus, they told me my financial aid wasn't good and I didn't know how to do it. And I'm like, I told my teachers, I don't know how to do it. I went to financial aid. They're trying to explain stuff to me. I don't know what's going on. My teachers came, helped me out with financial aid. I've had women issues where I was trying to talk to a pretty girl. I didn't know how to do it. My other teachers came. Like, it was basically, everybody was kind of like helping me out with things of that nature. And that's what I love about the HBCU I went to. It was all like family. By next semester, everybody just kind of knew each other. After one semester, it was like, oh, you that kid that's about to do that? Oh, he's him. So I was like, wow, I want to be known as the top athlete of the school, the football player. But like I said, I was on practice squad only. But it's like everybody was knowing me as the guy that was just doing the videos and stuff like that. And I was joining different organizations and the support. The support was the number one thing that kept me going. My mom first, because if you know my mom, man, she's been with me through thick and thin no matter what. She supported everything I've done, stayed late night, talked to her till 3, 4 in the morning. She said if I wasn't her son, she would never lose sleep. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, she's an amazing, amazing person. And I know, you know, she's a married woman as well. So you having a great mother, great parents, that's something if people are looking and say, how do you create one of these princes? Well, one, you might want to have some order in your life. And, you know, I'm going to get his mom on here, God willing, too, for her own interview when she's available. But, you know, and she'll give the game because she has some coaching game for relationships for y'all. Can you tell the people, though, what is, you know, the best for you has not even, it's yet to come. Yeah. But what is a community give back that you're doing now or one that you would like to do in the future?
Like right now, the whole movie aspect was almost like for the community almost, because it's like I went to college. I saw how networking and everything was happening and how you had to really get people out of their shell. That was kind of like what they did to me with the support system I had. So when I came back, I was like, look at all these people, because TikTok lets you know the locations of everybody around you and people put locations. I'm like, all these talented people in Palm Beach area and stuff like that, and nobody really knows what they're doing. I got people that's being musician, people that's doing this, but they know how to act and do this and that. So one of the things I did, I had post a flyer up all over my social media, all over my friends' social media, because they got a great following. You know, whoever wants to come. We're having an audition. We're paying everybody. So a lot of these people, they was their first time being paid to do the job that they were doing, like makeup, acting, directing, and stuff like that. So I was like, I'll pay and I supply food and I'll pay for your gas. That was pretty much how it was going down. And everybody was like, cool. A lot of people showed up more than expected to, because I thought it was just going to be like 1 or 2 day audition. But it got to a point I was like, okay, look, you guys could just start emailing me at Prince Global Production, and then we just going to go through the videos and see who best fits the role that we like. Because like I said, I didn't expect to get such a great outpouring, because when I first posted everything out, it was like, But then once I started reaching out to my friends, asking them to post out because I wasn't getting that much people, everybody just started coming through from the city. And at this point right now in Palm Beach, from the film I dropped, I'm getting a lot of people that didn't really know me too well saying, good job, I saw your film. And I'm like, thanks. And but I didn't want to say who are you, but I'm just like smiling and shaking my hand. But in my head, I'm like, I've never seen you before. Who are you? But I just said thanks and just kept it moving. I was just happy, like a stranger knew that I was doing that and made the film, because I didn't act in it or nothing. It's like you had to know that I was actually the one that made that film. Someone had to tell you who I was or something. That's how he
Okay,
said it.
teachable moment though. Next time someone asks you and you don't know who that person is, say, get some research. Thank you. Where did you see it? How did you see it? You know, because you might be running to your next investor, especially here in Palm Beach, where, you know, they say the money is flowing like milk and honey. It's you know, letting people know and grabbing that card or that information, because sometimes you just never know where them angels will come out of nowhere. I want to ask you though this, and that's the teachable moment for all of us. Like, never be hesitant to ask people how and shake their hand, because this is the difference between an E-40 and a Ludacris. And I don't mean to diss Ludacris, but he's not a personable person if he doesn't know who you are. And you could even be the media. E-40 will talk to everybody. He's a people person. Reason why he's had longevity in multiple ventures outside of music, restaurants, and all that. Love you, Uncle 40. But let the people know, because you're in such a great time with creation, with AI, the Web3. I hear the old school talking about AI can never replace us. But I'm looking at Adobe Edit and different things that editing for you for, you know, just based on what the AI knows. How are you using AI? What do you see the future? Are you a fan of AI and all these tools we have now?
I personally, I feel like if you're not using AI or some of these tools, you're going to be behind. You're going to be trying to catch up. You're putting more stress on yourself. AI was like a quicker way for you to communicate, get things out there and done. But AI shocked me within the last year, this year and last year, because everything I'm starting to use now is AI, 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 Snapchat, AI, Instagram, AI could help you do this. Adobe Premiere, if you need help, click here, AI can come up with a solution for you. It's just like AI is pretty much becoming like the way to communicate. And me, I was one of those people that was skeptical of AI. I will first like to say that, because I'm thinking AI, artificial intelligence, I done seen iRobot. I know how this is gonna turn out. I seen Terminator. Like, are you guys crazy? But then it's like my little brother's like, he's using AI, and then I'm like, if my little brother's using AI, I definitely got to get on it. So, but AI's made communications way quicker, way easier. It saves a lot of my notes, where it's like I don't even got to share. It's just I could just talk to my phone, and my phone will go to the notes and just send it to that specific person, or just bring up my whatchamacallit, my set, because I have a note thing that I just found out I could do on my phone. Like, I write stuff on my notepads, and you screenshot it, turn into a PDF and stuff like that. And I'm able to just like tell AI to go look it up on my phone. Once they find it, just able to click on it and have it sent to somebody that I wanted to. And at this point, it's just like I just got to know their names, that way I don't get, because when I used to send people messages, I would send you a message that was not meant for you, it was meant for someone else. I was like, ugh. Now I gotta go and explain this with AI. I was able to take that out the way. It's a faster way of communication. If you're scared of AI and don't want to use AI, you're gonna be behind the eight ball. That's what I'm basically saying.
I love it. I love it. You know, and there is a time for old school. Like in the tech world, people say, well, Linux and, you know, these different things will never go away as much as you have AI. But there's some people who know Linux know they want things to be customized. There's certain benefits, you know, the same way where I'm not an iPhone user. I love the apps that you guys have, those who have it, but I like to customize my Android, things that I can't do on the Apple phone as of right now. Can you tell the people before they try to inbox you and tell their mama and everyone about you, some ranges, you know, if you're doing a wedding, if you're doing a movie, some ranges they should be in, because, you know, people come up to you all the time. Oh, yeah, I'd like this. I want you to do my whole wedding in the jungle and the safari. I got a $500 for you. You'll take it, right? Like, give them some ranges where they should be before contacting you, just so they have an idea.
All right, so For a wedding, your budget range is looking at $2,000 minimum to start. For our minimum package, you're getting videography, photography, and we throw in a little TikTok video for free. If you want to see how we work, you can go on Instagram at multimedia, MULLTIM3DIA creativity. So we had to throw that three in there just to be different. But with our $2,000 package, like, you get a videography, photography, and a TikTok for free. And all of me and my staff, we come in and we, you know, we shoot your videos and stuff like that. So it's the basic package. Our $7,000 package is the one that's usually people usually go for. If they book us early, they usually go for that one. If they book us late, actually, they already got everything, but we are a one-stop shop. So our $7,000 packs come with a host, a DJ, 360 booth, photographer, videographers, TikTok, and then also we do banners for you if you need a banner or a poster. Like, if you happen to see my cover art for my film, we do that. Everything for my film, we handle that. It was all in-house. So we do banners, seating charts, wedding invitations, all the above for the $7,000 package. So the $2,000 package is really just for the videography and photography and a little bit of a TikTok. But the TikTok one is kind of free. I just throw that out. We always give people a TikTok. If you go on our page, we always post a TikTok on our social media. And then we post like a snippet of the wedding once we're done editing it. We like to keep everything flowing. And then on Thursdays, we usually have live for about an hour where people get to ask us some questions. That's something we was able to do last week and this week, and we're going to see if we're going to continue on doing it. But it was very active.
So if you guys want to ask questions, go on the live and ask. So he only has to say it one time. And also, for anybody, sometimes I can hear a hater sometimes, you know, listening. I have more listeners than viewers. But for those of you who are going to the YouTube and, you know, trying to change that, we appreciate that. I'll take it all. But, you know, people say, oh, $2,000. But for anybody who will ever push against that price, let me tell you, I could send this young man to Ethiopia. And what I was told, you know, a few years ago, you can get at least $2,000 per wedding just to fly a drone, at least in the Tigray. Mekele was the city. So, you know, I will outsource our great talent if you guys don't support it and say, go to Africa, go, you know, they'll pay, and they pay cash and they don't have to negotiate too much. And it's Africa. You won't spend too much either once you get there. Let the people know where they can find you. I could go on all day with Prince, but I want you guys to go tackle that social media, look at his links, and then go hire him. So his whole calendar is full and he can hire more people in this area and get the next generation of videographers and, you know, accountants and all that to handle all this money. But let them know where to find you at.
So you could find me at multimedia, MULLTIM3DIA, MULLTIM3DIA. I don't know if I mispronounced that the first time. That is the wedding pages and wedding photography. That page is strictly for wedding. Prince Global Production, that is my studio page, and that is basically where I do my movies, edit, and videos and things like that. And then also multimedia, MULLTIM3DIA studios is where we post everything that we do in the studio, because right now we're about to start our podcast I have coming soon. It's called Talk Your Shit, you know. It's pretty much how our podcast is going to be right now. We're building the stage. I'm gonna be done building the stage by Sunday. We decided to build our own stage where people are gonna come and perform and stuff like that. And that's another thing for the community with a lot of these inspiring actors and not actors, inspiring musicians and artists and stuff. We're gonna give them a stage where they could perform and stuff like that, a good platform. Because we saw once we dropped the movie, we got a lot of outpouring support and a lot of people that viewed the channel and stuff like that. And we was like, we could do something for the people here that's really trying to make it, that's looking for the buzz on YouTube that they're not getting. So, and then also you could rent out our studio once we're officially done in by next week. We have a podcast studio. That's where I'm gonna be doing my podcast from. We can catch Talk Your Shit podcast, multimedia podcast. Those are gonna be filming out of the studio once we're done.
So
Yes.
you guys see, there is a lot to support. There's a lot going on in this Palm Beach County. So if you're coming here as a visitor, you're a snowbird, or you're here, it's very clear that you got to tap in, find good people. Don't like to hear that, oh, we don't have. People are creating, we have. But what you got to do is understand, folks, this is the place where you can learn how an entrepreneur started, sustained, and succeeding. But what you're going to have to do, whether you're listening or you're watching, you're going to have to like this game, subscribe to this game, take notes, rewind to this game. But most importantly, share this game with somebody else. It will change their life. Y'all be blessed.
Oh man, one
Oh, go ahead.
thing I would like to mention as a good tip, networking. You have to network. That is the greatest thing you can do. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. That is one of the greatest things I've ever heard, and that is true. And also, I'll be performing my improv coming up soon. I do a little stand-up comedy, so I'm gonna be doing that coming up soon. I'm gonna be taking the stage in Delray. Yes. I
I
just don't want
love
to give
it.
out
We
the
go.
full location yet because I'm still nervous.
I love it. We will keep us tuned, and we can throw all that in, or even post to let people know, whether it's on WhatsApp or wherever. But you said something about who you know, Mr. Knowles, Miami-Dade Chamber. When you join that chamber, the famous quote that he always tells us is, it's really about who knows you. Y'all been blessed with the game, y'all. Make sure you share it again.
Welcome to South Africa, and you will be coming with the African Diaspora News Channel with Phil Scott, of course. He is hosting you guys in this amazing country. He's been here before, he's been back again, and now he's bringing you on this trip. So make sure you sign up early so you can go ahead and come on this trip as well. It's going to be an amazing trip because we're actually coming to Johannesburg. We're going to show you all the sites like Mandela Square. And then, of course, from there, we're on our way to Durban. Durban is a special place. It's our playground. This is where the people of South Africa go to have a good time. It's tropical. We have beaches. We have everything. We have culture. We have nightlife. Everything is here, and you're going to absolutely enjoy yourself. So sign up with the African Diaspora News Channel now with Phil Scott, and we will see you guys here in what we like to call sunny South Africa. See you soon.
Hi everyone. Have you ever been curious about visiting Africa? Which African country were you interested in? Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, South Africa, Ethiopia? Which country are you interested in? My good friend, Kellen Cash Coleman, came up with a course called My First Trip to Africa that'll guide you through this process. It's only $20, and in this course, you'll learn about passports, visas, vaccinations that you need before you go there, as well as a budget, how much the trip is gonna cost. He also talks about what you should pack, what you should take with you, how you should travel on a budget. Did you know that $100 is worth 1,000 South African rand and over 10,000 Kenyan shillings? So imagine what you can do with $100 back home. I say back home because I'm from Sudan, I'm African, I already know how it's like. I know that, when you convert Canadian and American money, it goes a long way when you're traveling across Africa. So if you're curious, if Africa is a place that you've always wanted to go, always wanted to move there, Kellen Cash is the person to ask. Check out the course, there's a little preview you can listen to before you actually purchase it. If you're interested in this course, visit www.diversifiedgame.com. Don't miss out.